Hey there, web or podcast listeners. I'm Vermont Edition producer Matthew Smith, and I wanted to let you know that this podcast has been edited to make it a little bit shorter and a little bit sweeter. Thanks, and I hope you enjoy.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. After vetoing the marijuana bill passed by the legislature last year, Governor Phil Scott said on this program in early December that he'd be open to signing a revised version of the bill as lawmakers returned this month.
It's not a high priority for me, but I did make a commitment that I was supportive of the bill that was put together.
And the legislature wasted no time in passing that bill. Yesterday, without debate, the Senate agreed to the version sent over from the House, and within a few days, it'll be on the governor's desk. He's expected to sign it, though, of course, the option of letting it go into law without his signature is still a possibility. Assuming, though, one of those two things happens, marijuana will be legal for adults to use, possess, and grow in Vermont starting on July 1st of this year. But before we get ahead of ourselves, let's spend some time going through the legislation. And in the coming weeks, I'm sure on this program, we'll look at how all of this is likely to shake out. But the details of the bill are important to know before we can get to any of that. Selena Colburn is a progressive representative from Burlington. As a member of the House Judiciary Committee, she's taken a very close look at this bill. Representative Colburn, nice to have you on the program.
Thanks so much. Great to be here.
Chris Pearson is a progressive Democrat state senator from Burlington as well, and he's been a strong proponent of legalizing marijuana. Senator Pearson, nice to have you on the program.
It's my pleasure, Jane. Thanks.
So as you might imagine, we're getting a lot of questions from people already who are parsing the words here and want to know exactly what is in it, what's not in it, what does this mean, am I reading this correctly? But before we get into those very specific details, Senator Pearson, you know, this really seemed like a fait accompli. I mean, everybody knew at the beginning of the session this is going to happen very quickly. It's likely to breeze through. So was the language all worked up between House and Senate and the governor even before the legislators came back in January?
Yeah, to some degree, I think it was. I mean, the Senate passed this bill in June the first time, and that was during the one-day veto session. And even that language was broadly agreed to across the board. And that, just by the way, Jane, is why the House acted so quickly, because the Senate had sent it to them and basically they would have had to take steps to delay any action. And in fact, the House decided to act quickly.
So, you know, in that sense, it's sort of an anticlimax after all of that angst last year over this. And then, you know, we have the veto session in June. And then, you know, it's like 2 weeks, a week into the session, and suddenly here's this bill. Does it seem like, you know, all of this Sturm und Drang in the past years, and then it comes to this?
Yeah, well, I would agree, but I think it sort of reflects the attitude of Vermont. You know, there's been a lot of angst, as you say, and the legislature has really dug in over many years now to the facts, to the details, and had conversations all across the state with Vermonters of all stripes. And so the more facts you learn, the more the temperature comes down. And so I agree with you. Last week when the House debated it, it did feel like there was no question in my mind whether or not they would pass it. It was sort of how long will it take and how long, you know, will there be any twists or turns? But it did feel sort of inevitable. I think the House in particular, the Senate has been a proponent of going even further to tax and regulate, but the House got more and more comfortable. My opinion is people who were more nervous in May and June when they voted for this actually found that constituents didn't bang down their door and rant and rave about how could they possibly vote for it. And so people, the evolution has been a good one.
Representative Colburn, would you say Senator Pearson's assessment of legislators, especially in the House of Representatives, getting a little bit more comfortable with this idea sounds true to you?
Absolutely. I definitely felt that coming back. As a member of House Judiciary, we put a lot of hours into different iterations of this bill. And, you know, it felt like meaningful and important work, but it also felt like very different last week, even then in May. In fact, so different that we had some of our Republican colleagues pushing us to go even further in the form of a tax and regulate amendment, which was a real sea change.
But didn't happen in the end.
Didn't happen in the end this time.
All right, let's get right into the details because there are a lot in it and people have many questions. So On the date of July 1st, assuming this all goes forward, people will be allowed to possess, cultivate, and consume marijuana according to state law. Let's start with growing. People are allowed to grow their own marijuana plants, and the bill says 4 immature plants, 2 mature plants, and several people have questions about that language. Tom says, is it 2 mature plants and 4 immature, or is it 2 mature or 4 immature, meaning could someone have 6 plants if 4 are immature? And we have several questions on along these lines about this and or, because it's an important distinction. Representative Colburn?
It is an and. So the idea is that the 2 mature plants would be the plants that you can harvest and that are ready for harvest, but you'd be allowed to be cultivating additional plants to bring them along to maturity. So you can have up to 6 at a time, 2 mature, 4 immature.
So you could have the 4 immature plants, the 2 mature plants. You could also at that same time have an ounce of marijuana on your person. And we'll get into this later, but you can actually have more of the marijuana that you've cultivated from these plants than 1 ounce. But it is an and in this bill, not an or, not a one or the other kind of thing.
That's absolutely true.
Senator Pearson, can you distinguish for those who don't know the difference between an immature plant and a mature plant?
Well, I'm not a gardener in that sense, but I think the distinction, as I understand it, has to do with flowering. And so, you know, not unlike growing tomatoes, we all understand what a tomato plant looks like before it has any tomatoes. Once it starts flowering a marijuana plant, then it would be counted as a mature plant, and you could go ahead and get your starters or perhaps 2 more starters going if you're cultivating in a mean to cultivate it in an ongoing way.
All right. So that rule, the 4 immature and 2 mature, and it's up to that many at any given time, is per living unit. So if you are an adult and you live with adult roommates and each of you wants to have your own crop, no dice. That's per living unit. So you couldn't have 2 adults who are separately cultivating marijuana and have, you know, 8 immature plants in a dwelling unit, right?
That's right.
What about communal gardens, people who do community gardening, you know, and you have your own plot. It's not in a living unit, but it's your plot in the midst of a large community garden.
So the bill really ties cultivation to a dwelling unit.
Okay, meaning what? So you can't grow it in a community garden, or that's just unclear?
I don't think that you can grow it in a community garden.
I think there's language, and my understanding is that it's got to be in a secure spot. So a community garden, by definition, wouldn't apply. And, you know, the goal here, by the way, this language mirrors what we've had in the medical marijuana law for over a decade now. So we're not reinventing the wheel. We're trying to build on success that we've had in that arena for a long time. But the idea is, as you say, you don't want somebody living in a dwelling with 3 roommates and one person is interested in growing a huge crop and sort of offering or excusing the number of plants by the number of roommates. We're not trying to do that. What we're contemplating here is, how can you be permissive enough to just have people who are interested in cultivating their own marijuana, you know, have a modest supply? That also trying not to have such a supply that people might look to distribute it. You know, this is very – we're trying to thread the needle here to just what is needed for a personal supply if people choose to use marijuana.
And go ahead, Representative.
I was just going to add that Senator Pearson is correct that there are provisions in the bill about securing the cultivation plot. So it would have to be – the cultivation has to occur in a enclosed location that can only be accessed by the cultivator or by individuals 21 years or older that they've granted permission to access the site.
So anybody who thought they were going to be growing some plants in their raised beds, that's off limits if your raised bed is not enclosed within a dwelling.
It doesn't necessarily have to be within the dwelling itself. So you could have a fence enclosure or something of that nature.
Right. So, but in other words, it has to be an enclosed and locked area of some sort. Eric is calling in from Shalott. Hi, Eric. Go right ahead.
Hi. I was really pleased to hear about the new legislation passing through so quickly, and I'm excited, and I think it's great. My question is, I'm wondering, the law says that you can possess up to an ounce while having two mature plants. I'm just curious where the one-ounce provision came from and why they would limit it to 1 ounce when two plants can produce pounds of marijuana. And yeah, what will people be expected to do with the excess cannabis? And can they give it away, or are they expected to throw it away? And why didn't Vermont just do something similar to Massachusetts, where you can possess as much as those two plants can produce?
Well, so Eric, there's a lot to parse there, and let's start with that question of, if you are growing a plant, if you have a mature plant and you're harvesting, and that plant presumably produces more than an ounce, Senator Pearson, there is a provision in the law. You don't have to throw that away. So can you explain, because there's a lot of confusion around that.
Yeah, sure. Happy to try. So to Eric's question, you may possess whatever your two plants produce, as long as you keep that marijuana in a secure place and in on your premises where you've been growing. So if you, let's say your plants produced 4 ounces, you could have 3 ounces sort of secured there with your facility or in your house, and then for some reason you were going camping or on vacation, you could leave with up to an ounce in your personal possession. This was a tricky area, and we spent a long time trying to figure out exactly how do you accommodate people that want to grow marijuana. You know, one of the reasons it's called weed is because it grows very easily, and the hemp plant has in our history been a very, very valuable crop, in part because it grows really easily. So we wanted to honor the fact that Vermonters do and would like to cultivate their own marijuana, but also didn't want to have loads of marijuana sort of running around the state or more than we already have. And so this was a tricky area. What we decided to do was just say, okay, if you're growing it, you can keep whatever you make there on the premises in a secure way. And generally for people who aren't growing, or even if you are growing, you may possess an ounce anywhere you go in the state.
Yeah, and that's an important point, because people have continually been asking this question about how can you have two mature plants but only this 1 ounce possession. Representative Colburn, when you game that out, though, and you think about, okay, so somebody could continue to grow, continue to have at any given time 4 immature plants, 2 mature plants. You know, they produce what a quarter of a pound, a half a pound each, store them in this safe, secure place in your home, but basically hoard them up and have pounds upon pounds of marijuana that you've grown yourself. But that would be entirely legal as long as it's you've grown it and it's in your stored place on site.
Under this law, that would be entirely legal. I will say that we took a lot of testimony from dispensaries and from the Agency of Agriculture on this issue of how much. So I think the situation you just described would be a real outlier in terms of what's possible or likely for a home cultivator. We really heard that kind of average or typical harvest from a mature plant for someone who's growing at home is probably a few ounces. So we really tried to tailor these amounts and actually, in fact, brought down the number of plants to really mirror what we thought was going to allow for home grow for home use, really.
So in other words, you're not too worried about that kind of scenario where somebody is building up a large supply?
I'm not too worried about it. We did see a floor amendment that would have capped the amount of storage, and I think the majority view of the House Judiciary Committee in reviewing that amendment was that at present that really felt, based on the testimony we'd heard, like a kind of a solution looking for a problem.
Let's go to Matt in Windsor. Hey, Matt, you're on the air.
Hey, thanks for having me. My question is the federal government and the state government was charging people 1 kilo per plant for a long time. Now,
Matt, what do you mean charging people 1 kilo per plant?
Well, if you get caught growing in the state of Vermont, usually if you have too many, it turns into a federal crime. The federal government charges you 1 kilo per plant. This has been going on for years. So, you know, the government's saying, hey, you can have 2.2 pounds per plant. So I'm assuming this bill allows you to have 4.4 pounds, you know, from your harvest.
Senator Pearson?
Yeah, go ahead. I'll take a crack at it. Matt. Is I think, and I don't want to be an authority on this, but my understanding is, over our history, law enforcement has just picked up. Let's say you were growing a plant in a big bucket, you know, like a what we would call a big planter. They just pick the whole thing up and put it on a scale, and so you're suddenly charged with whatever weight is in soil, and if you just watered, and so on.
I see your possession charges. You've been charged with possession of a kilo,
and so it's been a little ridiculous, right? And similarly, there has been a time where, let's say, you made marijuana brownies. The entire brownie would count as though it was 100% marijuana, excluding, you know, your Duncan Hines mix that was in there. So that is, I think, a fair representation of where we've been. What this bill contemplates and in fact, would become law once the governor signs it and once we hit July 1st, this summer, is to just say no matter what your plants produce, as long as you keep them on the premises, you have no more than two mature plants, you may keep that. So we're kind of getting out of the quantity area altogether, assuming you've produced that you've grown your own plants. You may not, under this law, possess 2 ounces, let's say, that, you know, you were given by somebody else who's growing. You know, that would be a violation. If you're not growing your own marijuana, then you would be, under this law, able to possess 1 ounce and no more. So I hope that clarifies. Matt is talking about some of the history, is my understanding. Again, I'm not an expert, but we have come a long way with the approach here, where we're weighing soil and the whole thing in terms of cultivating.
And when we talk about this question of 1 ounce, also in the bill, you're allowed to have an ounce of marijuana on you. When it comes to hashish, you're allowed 5 grams, so less than an ounce of hashish.
That's true. Yes.
And that's because hashish is stronger. This is the resin of the plant. So you're still allowed to have hash on you, but it is a smaller amount that you're allowed to possess at any given time.
Right.
Got it. All right. We have more to talk about here, lots more to talk about, including consumption, rules around consumption. Where are you allowed to consume marijuana? Are there rules around what kind of production you're allowed to do? Can you make tinctures? Can you make brownies? Can you use butane? No. We're going over the details of the legislation that cleared the Senate yesterday that will allow Vermonters to consume, possess, and grow a small amount of marijuana starting in July. Selena Colburn is a progressive representative from Burlington and a member of the House Judiciary Committee. Chris Pearson is a progressive Democrat, a state senator from Burlington. He's a strong proponent of legalizing marijuana. They know the details of this legislation. They're helping to answer your questions about it. Nancy in Townsend says, does this mean that Vermonters can purchase product in a medical marijuana facility? Representative Colburn?
So only if you are part of the existing medical marijuana program as a patient. So this really allows for home grow and just possession. It doesn't create any kind of retail market for Vermonters.
And Will is on the line with us from Waitsfield. Hi, Will. You have a question?
Hey. I do have a question. I'm wondering, when it does become legal and we can grow, where can we obtain seeds or clones to start?
Yeah, well, good question. Senator Pearson, do you have an idea of where people are going to be able to legally obtain seeds or clones to start their growing operations?
I don't think this proposal, the legislation, really contemplates that. You know, a lot of us would like to take the second step here and hit a fully taxed and regulated structure around marijuana, which would answer Will's question. Unfortunately, the governor wasn't willing to go that far, and you know, the debate's going to have to wait for another day. So this step does not contemplate where folks could find seeds or pick up starter plants.
You know, I need to do some research into this, but perhaps one of you already knows the answer. I seem to recall That it's not actually illegal to buy seeds, to buy or sell marijuana seeds. It has been illegal, obviously, to grow marijuana, to grow female plants especially, and to possess it. But that I thought seeds were actually legal to ship and to buy.
We didn't actually address that in committee, but I can say that some of my colleagues who were really pushing for more of a discussion on tax and regulate when this bill came to the House floor, cited this very issue as kind of one of the flaws in our bill not going far enough. I mean, that this bill does sort of, for those who are not taking the home grow approach, it does rely on the continued existence of an illegal market to obtain that possession to marijuana. And that's one of the many arguments that people are raising for moving the discussion further.
Let's go to Jeff in Brookfield. Hi, Jeff. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm wondering if a current medical user, or how, you know, they have a card, they're legitimate, does this increase their plant count to, you know, have more mature plants? You know, if there, say there's an adult that doesn't have a medical card in the dwelling. And I also have this to say, I think the no cap is wonderful because otherwise, it's punishing you for doing well. If you have a bright green thumb, you're like being punished for growing the biggest pumpkin.
Jeff, thanks for the calls. Either one of you want to tackle that question of if you're a medical marijuana card holder, does this increase your ability to grow or to have somebody else in your household who's growing separate from medicinal use?
I don't want to say this with 100% certainty, but I don't think it does. You know, what we're looking at here is a limit per dwelling. So how we've given you permission to have that is sort of not the relevant factor. The limit on plant numbers per dwelling is the limiting factor. But I will say I'm only about 90% confident on that one. This is a good question that Jeff's asking.
So we got a note from David who says who wants to talk about gifting. So if you grow your own marijuana and then you would like to give an ounce to somebody else, David says, is that just 1 ounce? Is it 1 ounce per person, like an ounce for you, an ounce for you, an ounce for you, et cetera, once per harvest, once per year? Could you get some clarification on the gifting an ounce of marijuana question?
I don't think there is any limit on gifting as long as the possession you know, is within the limits of the law. So an ounce is an acceptable gift, I believe.
You know, one of the immediate criticisms of this legislation as it was passed yesterday came from SAM, the Smart Approaches to Marijuana, which opposes this bill and opposes legalization. That organization put out a statement last night, and among the concerns enumerated was one about the gift economy, as it's called, when it comes to marijuana. And that's sort of a way around this prohibition on retail sales or a commercial structure. And so if someone charges you money for something like, you know, a tchotchke or a pint glass or a $40 t-shirt, and oh, hey, along with the t-shirt that I have sold to you, I am giving you an ounce of marijuana, but you've given me, you know, $40 for this t-shirt or this pint glass. And that's a way to get around this question of sales still being illegal. Is that something that you thought about as you crafted this legislation?
Yeah, I think that is a fair critique. And I'll just say again, it's why we really need to go the next step to fully tax and regulate marijuana, treat it just like we do alcohol. But I'll say that if you look at Massachusetts, our closest neighbor in this case, Maine, Colorado, other states that have by voter initiative legalized marijuana, they have in one vote taken two steps. So today in Massachusetts, basically the law that Vermont is passing right now is the law of the land in Massachusetts, personal possession, home grow, but there's no retail sales in Massachusetts. But there's about to be. In Massachusetts, I think they come online in July for retail outlets. They took that in one vote. They took two steps. We are going to have to come back and take that second step. But it is a very logical and necessary step for all the reasons that folks are highlighting. You know, this was what the governor was willing to do at this point. I think we're getting him further along on really treating this the way we do alcohol.
Let's go to Jeff calling in from Chester. Hi, Jeff.
Hi. My question, can you hear me?
Yep, we got you loud and clear.
Okay, great. My question surrounds limitations on where people can smoke. And my concern is about, I'm a person who doesn't like marijuana smoke because I don't like the way it makes me feel. And so I'm not interested in being in a place where people are smoking. And I've had problems with it in apartment buildings. I've had problems with it in other areas. So I just wondered if there's any limitations, are they regulated by the same rules as cigarette smoke, or what kind of rules around that?
Jeff, good question. Representative Colburn or Senator Pearson, which one of you wants to tackle that?
So we did really try to parallel, for the most part, regulations around tobacco smoke in a lot of indoor settings. But in outdoor public settings, it's just prohibited, and any consumption is prohibited in any form. There's also a lot of provisions where a landlord can put in their lease that consumption is not prohibited in a rental setting, and certainly employers can do the same.
So in other words, to Jeff's point, it's not like it's going to be legal in a bar because you're already not allowed to smoke in a bar.
Right.
But it's also not going to be legal to smoke in a park where you might be able to smoke cigarettes because that's a public space, right?
Right. Correct.
If you live in an apartment unit and your landlord doesn't have a prohibition on smoking cigarettes inside your apartment, you'd legally be allowed to smoke marijuana inside your apartment unit?
Well, a landlord could prohibit just the consumption of marijuana and not cigarettes, or the other way.
It's not a blanket prohibition on smoking marijuana in an apartment unit.
It's not. So it would be really, if the landlord hasn't prohibited it, much like tobacco, it would be up to the owner, the resident of the apartment to make good choices about the kind of exposure that their friends and neighbors and loved ones are experiencing.
There are some other limitations worth a mention, even though I think most people know this is for people who are 21 years of age and up. So you're not allowed to use marijuana to consume it in any way if you're under 21, according to state law. You're also not going to be allowed to operate a vehicle while smoking, which, in many ways feels to me very similar to the open container rule for alcohol. But the language in the bill also says you're not allowed to operate a vehicle while someone else is smoking weed in your car with you. So you're not allowed to operate a vehicle in the presence of secondhand smoke, right?
That is right. And that, again, parallels open container. We've decided that it's too risky to have your passenger drinking a beer because it's just too conducive to handing it over to the driver. And so, again, as much as possible, we've paralleled the way we treat alcohol or tobacco, because it is a very similar vice.
Also, never going to be allowed, even in off hours, on a school campus, at a daycare facility, an after-school facility, marijuana not legal in those places.
Correct.
Let's go to Sam, who's calling in from Moncton. Hi, Sam. Go right ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. So I'm curious. I have relatives in Massachusetts. Let's say I brought some down to share with them, or vice versa. Would that be then considered federal jurisdiction, or is it still legal in both states?
Yeah, Eric, your question is also echoed by somebody named Gary in Richmond, who's, is it okay to possess edibles that I've purchased in another legal state? So I guess if you're crossing state lines, but from one state that has legal marijuana to another, what are the rules? Who has jurisdiction?
Well, in terms of federal law, it's illegal everywhere. So the crossing the state line isn't a distinction that the federal government would make. But the reality is the federal government don't have police trolling around either of our states, Massachusetts or Vermont. And so there becomes that practical limitation of, I suppose if there was a DEA officer that knocked on your door and somehow figured out that you'd moved, well, it wouldn't even matter where the origins of the marijuana came from, because under federal law, it's not legal. the reality is they're just not policing us.
Well, you know, several listeners have questions about that as well, or thoughts. Ray says the reality is that even with this measure at the state level, the federal government can still come after you. The Obama administration didn't see this as a priority, rightly, I think, Ray says. But the Trump administration has moved back a step towards going after legal, recreational, and medical pot. So growing or running a business runs the risk of federal action against you. And on this note, let's go to Eric in Fairfax. Hi, Eric. You have a question that involves the federal government?
Yes. Thank you for taking my call. So I've lived in states where it's been legal, and now I live in Vermont. I'm excited. What I'm curious about is for homeowners, because I've always understood that if you got caught and prosecuted on a federal level, that you could possibly lose your house. So what I want to know is if that's a repercussion we should be worried about, and if you are growing within the parameters per state law, would Vermont provide any protections or assistance or legal help? Just kind of curious about this, what the legality is, state versus federal, and if we should be worried at all.
Yeah, Eric, thanks for that. Selena Colburn, what are you thinking?
So the federal law is separate and different from the state law. So we can't, in the example that you cited, we couldn't as a state protect you with our state law from federal repercussions. That said, you know, the day that we were debating this on the House floor was the day that Jeff Sessions came forward and kind of reversed the what's called the Cole memo of the Obama era commitment not to, you know, chase down states who have moved in this direction. And there was a lot of concern and flurry among my colleagues. And by the end of the day, our U.S. Attorney of Vermont, Christina Nolan, had made it very clear, I think, in a public statement that given the opioid crisis and other issues, going after Vermonters for marijuana uses is not going to be a priority of her office. So I think that was reassuring.
Yeah, and again, you know, that there's no guarantee from the state, even under state law, if the federal government should decide for whatever reason to come after you or should have another reason, or, you know, if you're intercepted by, for example, Border Patrol agents who are representatives of the federal government, not the state government. So state law and federal law really in conflict here, regardless. And the question then is how strictly is federal law applied or enforced? And certainly you can't have federal agents in every home, but, you know, that is an open question. I want to make sure we have time for one other question here that some people want to know about in terms of other applications for marijuana rather than just smoking the dried buds or even hashish. What are you allowed to do in terms of production and the transformation of marijuana? I understand it's okay to make tinctures, edibles, as I said, hashish okay, but not okay to use butane or hexane to do chemical extraction. Any other restrictions or points that we should get on the table there?
I think you nailed it. That's really what the bill says.
And I'll just say the butane extraction is more about the safety of that process, not about the end product that comes from the marijuana plant. It's just that people have found their house explode or their apartment or whatever. So it's a real danger. And in fact, our laws had been silent on that process. So this is a safety precaution that this bill puts forward.
Senator Pearson has mentioned that, you know, in his estimation, this is a first step and a retail framework is really needed and some rules around the commercialization of marijuana. Representative Colburn, what's your perspective on that? You know, the House has been perhaps the warier body in moving forward with retail legislation.
Very true. I share Senator Pearson's sentiments, and I'm a co-sponsor of a tax and regulate bill in the House. And it really was quite astounding to come back last week and just see the sea change and have colleagues who have been just hard-nosed on any form of marijuana legalization starting to say that with the inevitability of the passage of this bill, we really need to look at tax and regulate. So I expect that conversation to start to move forward pretty swiftly.
Pretty swiftly, like in the next couple months, or do you take a breather and wait until the new session next year?
you know, there's a bill there, so we'd love to take it up. But I think the likely scenario is we take a breather and see how this goes and come back next session.
Well, there's certainly more to talk about, and Vermont Edition will certainly be doing that. We have a lot of ideas for where we could go with this conversation as we look now at what's likely to start happening surrounding the legalization of marijuana going forward, starting on July 1st. And listeners, if you have particular subject areas or topics or ideas for us on That Square that you'd really like us to be looking at, you can let us know. You can always send an email to vermontedition@vpr.net. Selena Colburn is a representative from Burlington. Chris Pearson is a senator from Burlington. Got a couple of Burlington reps here in the House, but I appreciate both of you coming on the show to really help drill down on the details of this legislation. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Great questions.